Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you're now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, coming to you guys and girls live, all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. As you guys and girls can see, I'm only live on my YouTube channel right now. I don't know what's, I had a little issue with my broadcasting into my Facebook pages. So for the people over there who catch me on Facebook, I'm sorry about the live broadcast. Having a little issue there, I'll get it fixed the next time around. But ladies and gentlemen, let's first get into the topic. As you can see, we're going to be talking about the stocks are crashing and creating discounts for investors. The stock market for the last 2-3 days have been creating massive discounts for investors. On today's episode, I'm first going to, in the beginning, I'm going to sound like a little reverend a little bit. And what I mean by sounding like a reverend, I'm going to sound like someone who's going to be a sounding board. I want to talk about investor sentiment, which is very important. I'm also going to talk about investors' sentiment, what people are doing right now, and to kind of give you that sounding board of finances and what you're going through today, pretty much being the voice that I always wish I had when I started out investing, right? So the thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, people are wondering right now, I don't even like looking at my portfolio. You open up your portfolio or portfolios or whatnot, and you're cringing. You're like, whoa, wow, I was doing so well. I had Tesla, I had Apple, I had Amazon, I got Facebook, I got tech stocks, pretty much stocks across the board. So ladies and gentlemen, let's first talk about how do you know when there's a discount on the market? And you guys and girls, thanks for checking in live. Let me catch some of you guys and girls saying, but the first topic we're going to get into, how to spot a discount on the market. But let's first go through these comments. Ms. Ruby, how you doing? We got Ms. Ruby from Memphis, Tennessee. How you doing, Ruby? Thank you for tuning in. Dervin Smith, hello from Honolulu, Hawaii. Dervin, what's going on? Glad to see you in. Mr. D.R. Briggs, Sr., how you doing, sir? He said, happy to catch another live. I'm glad you're here, and I'd like to thank God for giving me an opportunity to do another live. You guys and girls are the ones that help me keep alive. She says, what do you think about AUMN, a moon? I don't know that stock off the top of my head, but if we get a little time into the show, we're going to first talk about it. We're going to look into that, MUN. So we get time into the show. I always go who commented first, Mr. D.R. Briggs. He asked for XP. I think I've seen this one before, XPENG. So the first one we're looking to, AMU, make sure I got that right, AUMN. All right. Man, my hand, you know your handwriting is bad when you write it down. You're looking like, what did I just write? Miss Ebony Love says, hi, everyone, ready to soak up this knowledge. How you doing, Miss Ebony Love? Thank you for tuning in. Mr. Tony Sirite. Hope I'm saying that right. Cleveland, Ohio, investment education for the youth. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. We got Ms. Joyce from Tampa. How you doing, Ms. Joyce? He said, I love the sales. Nice. How you doing? Michael says, good evening, everyone viewing out there. Yes. Thank you for tuning in as well. Michael, what's going on, Mr. Lemonade? You sipping your lemonade out there in Canada? And we got Miss Kathy from Alabama. Okay. You're right, Max B. That's my guy right there. Max B's bringing up the VIX. Max B, you DM me. I ain't got a chance to get back on your DM. I definitely will be DMing you after the show. Sorry about that. For the people that DM me, sometimes my DMs will get a little hectic. And I may have a little time. I may read it, and I may not get the chance to get back to you. I just want everybody to think that, man, this guy, he never responds, or he, you know, or my emails or whatnot. It may take me a while sometimes. So y'all bear with me. 1 second before we get into that. And we got Ms. Kirsten from the Virgin Islands is in the building. Okay. And Ebony says, do you think it's a good time to get WMT, TG stocks? Now I will. They continue to drop at some point in the near future. We're going to get into that, Ms. Ebony. Good question. First thing I want to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, how do you know there's a discount on the market? How do you know there's a discount on the market? I'm going to make this very interactive. I don't want this to be a one-way conversation, so y'all can comment and say what you have to say. I'm only on YouTube today. I'm sorry about not being on Facebook. You know, I had a little couple issues to get into my Facebook groups, but we'll work it out. So the first thing is, how do you know there's a discount? Now, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm typing this in. I'm going to put a banner across the bottom. How can you spot a discount on the market? I'm going to give you a real world scenario. Take me for example. I'm not a big shopper in my house. I'm someone who goes to the store and I grab what I want and I get out of there, right? And what I mean by that is I can't spot a sale. You take my wife on the other hand. Okay. You take my wife on the other hand, she can spot a discount. There we go. We got it right. How do you spot a discount? Putting that on the bottom. How do you spot? Oh, I got the A in the wrong section. How do you spot a discount on the market? Y'all give me 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. How do you spot a discount on the market? So let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing is you only could spot a discount on the market if you know the market. Prince, what do you mean? If I decide I want a gallon of milk right now, I would drive down to Walmart or whatever the case may be, Trader Joe's, or if you go to Whole Foods, or if you go to a Sprouts, whatever, King's Supers, Ralph's, if you're on the West Coast, I think they got a store with Vons on the West Coast. So you go down to your local grocery store and it says, I go in, I grab the milk and it says the milk is $3, right? The only thing I can compare the milk price off of, I look right next to it. I'm like, well, this milk is $3. This other milk is $4. This other milk is $5. This other milk is $2. So if I see a milk for $2, $3, $4, $5, I immediately say, well, what's the difference between the prices? Now, if one milk is vegan or one milk is cow grass fed, then I can spot like, okay, well, this seems to be the cheapest one for my price. I usually drink about 2% milk and I'll grab it and I will go home. Now, when it comes down to the market, now then I will come home. My wife will say, how much you pay for that milk? And I say, well, it was $4. She would look at me and say, why did you pay $4 for the milk? And I would say, well, it was, you know, it was the best price I saw. You don't go to Ralph's for milk. You could have got that at Whole Foods for $2, right, or a dollar. And I'm thinking I got a good deal because compared to everything else, it was the best price. But I'm not familiar enough with the milk market. I don't buy enough milk. I don't go in and just look at the prices and track the prices of milk. So I truly don't know when I have a discount or when I spot a discount. So most people, if you're a casual investor, it's very hard to spot a discount because you don't see the market every day for the most part. You always tell people, create a wish list, put your favorite stocks on your wish list. So the whole idea behind that is the only way you can spot a discount is to really kind of follow the market. Now, here's the first indicator of knowing there's a discount on the market. Number one, when all the major indexes are down, Dow Jones is down, S&P 500 is down, NASDAQ is down. Those are the three major indexes that we track here in the United States. All the markets are down. That's a clear indicator. You're going to say, well, what happened to make the whole market go down? Then I look at the stocks inside of the market. When I see red across the board, we've seen red across the board on Monday. We've seen red across the board on Friday. We've seen red across the board on Thursday. And if you're catching this, hit the like, subscribe button, share this with your friends and things like that. So when I see everybody is down, that lets me know, okay, the entire market is down. I know people are making money. I know companies are making money and things like that. What's causing a massive sell-off? Now, when I see everybody down, we're down on the S&P 500, Dow Jones, and the NASDAQ. Now, my discount hat starts to go on because I start to think, well, if the whole market is down, why is everybody down at the exact same time? And then since I go into the market almost every day, I get to see, wow, all these great companies, CrowdStrike just released great earnings, and look at the stock just cringing. It's going down. Everybody, look at Amazon. Amazon's a powerhouse. Facebook, you name a company right now, they are trading down. So when everybody's down across the board, then I get to follow into investor sentiment. Now I get to see the whole market is down. Now I get to feel investor sentiment. Prince, what do you mean by investor sentiment? It's my play of words from consumer sentiment. How does a customer feel about the product? How does the customer feel about the market? So now I get to see, how does the market feel about the market? And usually when the market is trading down, all of the media is going to say the end of the world is near. The end of the world is coming. 2008, when the market is falling, everybody, the sentiment of investors is going to continue to fall. Now I see the market falling. Now here comes the hard part. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the bottom is. Tomorrow, the market could turn around. The market could turn around on Friday. The market could turn around next month. I can't time when a turnaround would happen. But ladies and gentlemen, let's be smart. History has told you, taught you over and over and over. Financial literacy has taught you the bull will come out, scare the investors, create blood in the streets. We got people protesting. We got civil unrest going on. You got a presidential election coming up in the middle of a pandemic. So you have many reasons to scare investors. Let's go back to the most successful investor of all time. What does Warren Buffett say? Buy when others are fearful. Be greedy when others are fearful. Right now, there's a lot of fear. We got a pandemic. We got an election. We got civil unrest. Every week, there's a new cop shooting. There's a new riot going on across the globe. We don't know what's going to happen with the pandemic. Kids are not going to school. Kids are doing virtual. Some companies are folding left and right. I went to go pick up my clothes from the dry cleaners, and the owner of the dry cleaners told me, said, Prince, I appreciate you as a customer, but I may not be here next month. So when I see everybody is down, the whole market is down, and then I open up my, I read all the media outlets. I read Yahoo Finance. I read CNBC. I read Market Watch. I read Bloomberg, and all of the sentiment of the market is stocks are crashing. End of the world is near. End of the world is near. Back in 2008, when I was not that much of a seasoned investor, I was a brand new investor. Every time I turned on the news, every time I logged into the internet, all I saw was the world was coming to an end. And I talked, and that scared me. It scared me. And I said, man, I don't want to lose all my money. So I started selling stuff, right? Now I'm being the sounding board. Prince, you've been here for 10, 15 minutes and you're just preaching to us. I'm preaching to you to speak about the market sentiment. Take advantage of other people's fear. You're here for the long run. As everybody gets fearful, everybody takes off running. This is the time to find the value. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to find the value in a discounted market. We just spoke about what is a discount, how to spot a discount. Prince, how do you know it's a discount on the market? When everybody is trading down, the top companies in the world, Amazon has dropped 7% in the last 4 days. What has happened to Amazon? What has happened to Apple? What has happened to Facebook? I know the finances of these companies. Facebook has zero debt and a ton of cash. Why are you trading down, right? Microsoft is trading down. Everybody is trading down. S&P 500 is going down. NASDAQ is getting beat up. Everybody is down. Everywhere you open up across the media, all the investors are scared. All the people that was buying call options, they knew so much. They was a genius. When the market is up, everybody was a genius. Everybody was jumping in. I'm getting DMs, random people calling me and Prince. I just brought a call on Apple. I brought a call on Tesla. I brought this. Everybody's jumping in. Everybody's so excited about what's going on in the market. Now, these last couple, 3-4 days, you hear crickets. Crickets are going across. This is where the true investor comes out. Cash is king, ladies and gentlemen. The down market has taught me over and over and over, Prince. Cash needs to be a part of your portfolio because the bear will come. And when the bear comes, a bear, that means a down market. When a down market comes, the person who's holding the cash will be the king. When it rains outside, the person with the umbrella will become the king. Because it don't matter how big a discount is. If you don't have cash, it does not matter. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you see the entire market crashing like this, now I have cash. Now I start putting my hands together and I start to look for, well, who has the value? Who has the value? How do you know who has the value? Now we're going to talk about finding value in a down market. So before I get into that, I want to look at some of you guys and girls' comments, whatnot. Thank y'all for tuning in. Don't forget that like, subscribe, comment, share button if you're coming in. All right. So right now, as everybody gets scared, everybody's like, oh, my God, or whatnot, I'm going to tell you the truth. We're going to talk about how to find value in a down market. Let's take a look, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Devin says, PTON is a great opportunity for this week's calls. I don't know what PTON is, but I will add that to the list. Michael, you got that right. You are Mr. Lemonade for now on. Michael, Miss Julia, how you doing, Miss Julia? She said, if you buy it and keeps it dropping after you brought it, there's a discount. Yes, if you brought it, take me for example. I saw the market go down on Thursday. I brought some. It went down again on Friday. I brought a little bit in, brought a little bit more. It went down again today. I brought a little bit more. This is reverse dollar cost averaging. What you're talking about, Julia, is called dollar cost averaging, DCA. Max B said drops more than 10%. You're right, Max B. That's a nice one. Support and resistance from previous trends. This is the RSI he's talking about. He's talking about those Bollinger Bonds. The support is at the bottom. The resistance is at the top. So as the stock goes up, it hits the ceiling and it comes back down. That's resistance. Then you look at the support. Eric Epigame said, I love this guy. You're a G. I'm a G. All right, cool. Mr. DR Briggs, I appreciate it. He donated $5 to me. But I wanted to say, Mr. Briggs, I really appreciate your little content. Well, since he donated $5, ladies and gentlemen, I got to shoot to his comment first. He's asking the question, thoughts about XPN Motors. They're supposed to be a Chinese competition for Tesla. Thanks for what you do. You are a hidden gem. Thank you. Definitely. I definitely appreciate it. So I'm going to have to get to his first since he donated $5. I will have to do this. I normally don't do this. And Mr. Briggs here on the show, I always tell people, do not donate to me, support me. And what I mean by do not donate to me, support me, the idea is I tell people I've written 3 children's books, children's financial literacy books. I wrote one on investing, credit, insurance, and they're good for kids. I'd rather people support that and also grab you in the Investor Show mug. This is the best way to read financial reports. You read financial reports so much better. And everything you put in it tastes better. And you read financial reports so much better. I know some of y'all have gotten them, but I'm just joking, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't sue me. But the whole idea is, Mr. Briggs, I'm going to look into that, but I always tell people to support me versus donate to me. But I definitely appreciate it. Here we go. If I see stocks can market down for 2 days and it drops $10 or $20, I buy only stocks I like. Yes. All right. More knowledge. He said, do you think Amazon will split like Apple and Tesla? Yes, I think they were by the end of the year. I would predict Amazon will split by the end of the year. I would not be surprised. If I was a betting man, I would bet they will split by the end of the year. Are stocks inflated now? How can you tell stocks are inflated? Look at the earnings. Earnings, ladies and gentlemen. The earnings dictates the future. So let's get right into Mr. Briggs. So let's take a quick look here. Y'all give me 1 second. So the only way you can tell if a stock is trading or it's inflated is by its earnings. Is it making more money? Is it making more money or less money? Every quarter, I look at it and say, well, if the company is making less and less money, but the stock is going up, 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 then that's that could be a sign for you. All right. XPENG. This stock is trading for $19. Let's look at the finances of the company. Okay. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do a stock review of SPNG. Here we go. All right. Let me pull it up here. So right now I'm pulling up. We're going to do a little review on XPNG for Mr. Briggs. XPENG. Oh, G. I'm sorry about that. G. Well, hold on. Why is it not? Is it XPEV? All right. So let's go back up here with XPN Motors. Okay. Maybe that's not the stock symbol. Maybe that's just the name of the, I think. Yeah, I think that's just the name of the Yeah, XPEV. That is the stock symbol. XPEV. XPEV is the stock symbol. Let me take a look into that. All right. All right. So I'm going to share my screen here with you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, here we go here. Let me take this off of the screen here. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is XPNG. It's a China-based company engaged in design, development, production of smart electronic cars. The company's primary products are sports utility vehicles named G3 Type 4 Door. So they're a rival for Tesla. This is their website. This is their website here, but it seems like, okay. So this is their website. That's a nice looking car. So this is XPNG. This is their company's website. So you can look inside the company a little bit here. And I want you to translate. Glad they did translate this for me. So services, this is financials of the company. You can see here. Hopefully it's not all in, well, it's in Chinese, so that's not going to help me a whole lot right here. But anyway, I just want you guys and girls to see this is the company. This is the product it's made. So the first thing I look at, what product do you make? Now, the next thing I want to look at, XPNG. We'll make sure what you guys and girls are seeing. Next thing we're going to look at with XPNG is, all right, they're unprofitable. So one strike here, it's an unprofitable company. How do I know that? I'm looking at the price to earnings ratio. The company's unprofitable. Now let's look at the company's earnings, right? Let's look at the market cap of the company. It's not even a $1 billion company. It's 831. No, I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. That is not the market cap. That's 831 million shares outstanding times the share price. That's about how many billion it is? Let's take a look right here. So the market cap is shares outstanding, 831 million times 19. That's going to give me the market cap. So it's about roughly about 18 million, around there, 15, 18 million. Why does the size of the company matter? The bigger the company is, the bigger the company. I'm sorry, right? They got it. Does it have it right here? 14 billion. I'm sorry. I didn't see it right here, ladies and gentlemen. Its market cap is 14 billion. Why does market cap? Why do I pay attention to market cap? The bigger the company, it gives a competitive advantage by how big you are. So looking at the market capitalization, that can tell me how big this company is. So it's about 14 billion, right? So let's look at its competitors. Automotive, it's in the automotive and auto parts, right? So let's take a look there. So, All right, so the industry average is 2,000 in market cap. That's pretty low. So let's go ahead and look at view all these companies. All right, so these could be the potential competitors, but I'm not going to go back to that. I'm going to let's take a look at the finances of the company. Now, the first risk is this is a foreign company. And the only thing I don't like about E-Trade when it does its let's look at its fundamentals. Let's go to your fundamentals here, and let's take a look at the balance sheet. The only thing I don't like about this, it doesn't tell me how much. Okay, it's telling me $2,387, but I'm pretty sure it's more than $2,000. It's probably, it could be in millions, it could be in thousands, it could be in billions. Sometimes they track it in thousands. If they were tracking this in thousands, this is $2 million. If they was tracking this in millions, this is $2 billion. So that's one thing, E-Trade, if you are listening, please update the down arrow here and tell me why or what this is. But here's 2018 and 2019. So look at the total assets of the company. So I'm going to assume right now that this is 7 billion. Please do not quote me on this. It has 7 million in assets, right? Now it has 9 million. So I do like to see assets growing. So after the assets, let's go down here to the liabilities. This is 2.86. Okay. So the liabilities is growing as well. So as the company's growing, so is its liabilities. I don't think it's been around for 2 years. So after you subtract the assets versus the liabilities, you go down here to shareholders' equity. Total equity, you're getting 7,000. Make sure that's right. Let me do the numbers. Total, okay. So right here, this is another thing I look at is debt. Look like it's got about 1.2 million in debt. The debt is growing on the company. So the company is growing with debt, something I don't like to see. So let's look at its total liabilities is 2.8. Its total assets were 7.6. So it should be around about 4 something right there, right? Total equity. So here we go here. The equity in the company is dropping. Assets, liabilities, right? So here they made more money. They accumulated more assets. So it's 9.2 million here in 2019. I think this is the year, 2020. Let's see the year. Make sure I got the year correct. This is for the year. So last year they grew in assets, but they grew in liabilities as well. So the liabilities grew up to 6.3. So when I look at that, that tells me 2.8. So for prime example, the network, which is probably 4.7 million or 4.7 billion, now it has decreased. So their network is almost, when you subtract the assets versus the liabilities. So I don't like to see that. That means that they're accumulating more debt. And I guarantee you most of this debt is probably, when I look at the cash flow statement, it's probably going to be to them financing. So we're going to take a look at that. That could be an indicator. So that's the balance sheet for the year. So now we're going to look at their income statement. How much money is coming into the company? So the total revenue in 2018, I'm guessing this is about 10 million, right? And it has gone up, and that's a million. That means that their revenue has gone dramatically. But this could have a lot to do with because the company went public. When companies go public, just like DraftKings, they made a lot of money. When we buy stocks, you're giving the money to the company. This is why companies go public. They're here to make money. So that could have been a big reason why we've seen such a drastic increase in revenue. So now, great, you made the revenue, but how much of it are you keeping? So the total revenue. So right here, you get to see this is the top line. The top line is the revenue. So now they have the operational expenses. So by the time they pay all their bills, the operational expenses, this is, look at how much you have over here. The company lost $1.6 billion in 2018. Then they lost $3 billion in 2019. So they're becoming bigger, but their money is going out even faster. Why is that? That's a question I would have. So look at the net income, 1.3 here. So the net income is slowly dropping. Why is the net income dropping? Why is the net income dropping in the company? Let's go to the cash flow to see if we can find some answers here. So right here, this is the net income. This is the top line. How much money the company has after it's done. Now you are going down here. Let's look. Right? Here we go. Purchase of fixed assets. Okay. So right here, you can see right here, by being an automotive company, this is the thing about an automotive company. Last year, it looked like it spent $700 million on fixed assets. A fixed asset could be something like, since I'm an automotive company, a factory. Maybe they brought a new robot. Maybe they brought a new machine or something like that. So since the company is growing, they almost doubled that the next year. Purchases of acquiring intangibles, that decreased. That's good. Capital expenditures, bills, that kind of stayed the same. Okay, so they spent money on investments this time. This time they made money on investments. So right here, if they were in the red in 2018 on the net of cash flow investing activity, they spent money. This time they made money. Maybe they sold some assets here, or maybe they sold stock. Maybe they went public and this money came in, $1.9 million. Purchase of investments. They spent a lot of money on investments last year. They didn't make any investments the following year. Total cash from investing. The year before, it looked like they spent about $3.6 million or $3.6 billion. That's one thing I hate about reading them off of E-Trade. They don't tell me what the actual placeholder of the number is. But this year, they made money from investing. It could have been because the company went public, as I stated earlier. So this is an investing activity. In the cash flow statement, this is an investing activity. All right, financing. So, okay, They made money from the sale of insurance and preferred repurchase. They didn't repurchase any of their stock. Okay. They did possibly repurchase stocks last year, which is a good thing. They brought money in from retirement stocks, long-term debt issue. Okay. So right here, long-term debt is when someone, maybe they wrote warranties or maybe they issued bonds. When a company issues bonds, money comes in from issuing bonds. Total financing. So they cut their financing in half. It's not too bad. So this company here is an unproven company. It's an unproven company that you may have. We were just looking at XPENG that we were evaluating. It's an unproven company. It's a very risky company. It's only worth $14 billion. And you look at the market cap on Tesla. Let's look at Tesla's market cap. And you got to be careful with trying to fall for what's next. What's next? So many people trying to catch the rebound stock that they forget about the stock that's actually winning. So look at this. The market cap for Tesla is $389 billion versus the market cap for XPENG is $14 billion. So it's a very small company. Number two, Tesla is an American-based company versus this company is, it has added risk to it because it's a Chinese-based company. When you are a Chinese-based company, now you have to worry about political risk. I always say this. You have to worry about political risk. What if Trump wakes up on the side? What if President Trump wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and says, don't bring those cars over here. Your little new G3 that you have, don't bring it over here. We're not going to sell it. Say if we get into a trade war. That's an added risk when you invest overseas. But I understand you're looking at, okay, well, it's an overseas company. It's Chinese-based. Is there any opportunities there? So when I look at this particular company, it's $19 at this time. I'm always going to say my rule of thumb, no. I will say no. The reason why, not saying it's a bad company, because I have international risk with political risk. It's it's not making money right now. It's an unprofitable company. It's still trying to figure it out. So before I get into a company that's unprofitable, ladies and gentlemen, who would you like to invest into? Let's take me. I have a restaurant and I say, hey, everybody, I have a restaurant. It's making money, XYZ. You can invest into me for $10,000. But you have the other person down the street. They're starting their restaurant, but you can invest into them for $1,000. Now, the restaurant down the street hasn't even started yet. It's, you know, they're talking about this. They got all these plans put together. And this has been in my experience in the real world. When I made investments with startups that was trying to get started, it was a greater risk. And when I look back on it, I wish I hadn't made those investments because they're extremely high risk because they're unproven. So do I want to bet on the next best Facebook or the current Facebook? Another company like, oh, you can buy TikTok for $5 or you can buy Facebook for $300. Facebook is already proven. They have no debt. They figured out how to make money. They're dominating their space. Versus if I get the new little TikTok, it could be gone by the end of the month. It could be gone by the end of the year. It could not make money, things like that. So it's a greater risk when you get the smaller company. It's a wild ride, but understand, stocks like this don't get more than 10% of your portfolio. Unproven, unprofitable, wild card companies should not get more than 10% of a portfolio. That's my rule of thumb. Hope that helps, Mr. Briggs. See what y'all are saying here. Let me scroll down. Fundamentals of technical. I want to show you guys. I want you guys and girls to understand this. I want you, and you know what? This is prime example. I put this on my Instagram the other day, and hopefully this helped you guys and girls out so you can understand something. Momentum versus financial. Momentum versus financial. Hopefully I didn't spell that wrong. Momentum. Tesla caught a lot of momentum in the past almost year. The last 9-10 months, Tesla caught a lot of momentum. Apple It's financial. It's the largest company in the world right now. $2 trillion market cap. The first company to reach $2 trillion. Not so much now since the stock has been traded down. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the momentum stock is Tesla. Its momentum strong stock is Tesla. The financial strong stock is Apple, right? When you look at Tesla and Apple, both of them took off running. Both of them have a great run so far. Now they're having a pullback. It's what I kind of predicted. I figured that they're going to run strong all the way until the split. They was going to split. They were going to go up after the split, and then they were going to be a pullback. When people get full, everybody's excited. Everybody got the stock. Once everybody has the stock, now everybody's not going to really take it that serious. Momentum versus financial. Momentum is when you look at Tesla. That's a prime example of a stock that catches a lot of momentum. Just like the stock we just looked at, XPNG, it could catch a lot of momentum. So when that stock catches a lot of momentum, everybody's behind it. Everybody's running into it. It's momentum, momentum that people lose sight of the financials, right? Apple had a nice run too. Nothing like Tesla, but it was having a nice little run. Strong finances. It became the first $2 trillion company and all of the good stuff like that. Ladies and gentlemen, now we got to figure out how to take advantage, how to find value within a discounted market. So the momentum strong stock, stocks can catch momentum. It's great. Invest into the momentum. Ride the wave, essentially, is what I'm saying. But also some stocks catch wave because they're financial. The best one is financial, right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about making money. And if the company's making money, the likelihood that Apple is going to disappear within the next 5-10 years, pretty slim to none. The likelihood that a Tesla may disappear, let's say if a company like XPNG, right now we have a lot of pressure. That company may fold. It's only worth $14 billion. The top guy in that industry is worth $300 billion, right? For me to invest in a little guy, you have to have something that the big guy is not offering or doesn't do. What is it different that XPNG is doing different from, I can't even say XPIN, I'm guessing that's what it sounds like. What are they doing different from the big boy in the industry, which is Tesla? What are they doing different? Now, do they make good cars? Yes, my first car was a Nissan. I had a Nissan Altima for a long time. Had that car for about 14 years. I wish I had it today, but it died on me. So, ladies and gentlemen, momentum versus financial. Now we're going to get to the next topic of what I want to talk to you guys and girls. How do you find a gem in a down market? How do you find a gem? Finding a gem, now that you got the cash, how do you find a sale? Right now, you have walked into Walmart and there are clearance signs, red clearance signs all over the place. Clearance, 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 clearance. And you're wondering as you walk up, is this thing on clearance because it's worth crap? Because we know price is what you pay, value is what you get. Is this thing on clearance because it's worth crap? Or is this thing on clearance because people don't see the hidden gem? This is an undiscovered hidden gem that we have. How do I find a gem in a discounted market? Before I get into it, let me read some of y'all topics. Comments. How to find a gem in a discounted market. How to find a gem in a discounted market. You know what I mean? So here we go. So before we get into that, let me see what y'all said in the comments. Somebody asked the question, are stocks inflated? Is Apple making more money or less money? Is Amazon making more money or less money? So I don't look at, oh, the price is high. Amazon is $3,000. Man, that thing is overinflated. But when they release their earnings and they're saying, yes, we just made $10 billion, which is more than we've ever made, then no. Pylon, P-T-O-N, okay? P-T-O-N. Write that down if we have time to get to it today. Fundamentals or technicals? Fundamentals, Mr. Tony Sirlight says, fundamentals or technical. Fundamentals tell me what to buy. When I see a strong fundamental company, if somebody came to me and they say, hey, I'm just going to be honest with you guys and girls. I had a buddy, organization, they released a beer. They released a version of a beer, right? And every time you buy that beer, it makes money for the company, right? So when you buy that beer, I look at it and say, wow, this company has... This guy that I know, he has a beer. I can invest in him. Versus somebody may call me and say, Prince, I'm looking to start my own beer, right? Who do I want to take the risk on? The guy who's trying to start his own beer, or the person that already has the beer established? Maybe they're trying to grow it in some type of way or whatnot. If I invest into the guy who is trying to start the beer, he's a higher risk. It's probably going to cost me less, but in order for it to cost me less, he's going to be a higher risk versus I can get the guy who's already established, because I can look at his numbers. I can say, oh, he's making this much money. He's already in one store. Maybe he's in two stores, three stores. What's his plan on growing? I can see it. I can taste the product. I know they can deliver the product, because this company over here, that new company, may never get off the ground. But this one here has shown they know how to execute. Now it's ability. Can they grow it? How can I grow this brand? What is their plan to grow this brand that I can probably make money? I can look at their profit margin. They say it costs me $5 to make a beer and I sell it for $15. That's a nice profit margin. Is their profit margin shrinking? Can they take it up higher? You know, whatever the case may be. All right. PTON has an ER earnings release on September 10th, planned just for the run-up. Okay. All right. Derwin. I do that too. A smarter one to play, Derwin. What about Amazon? They're going to release their earnings in October. Apple is going to release a new iPhone 12 is going to come out this year, and I'm going to get it. Not because I'm into phones. It's because I need a new phone. I usually get every two phones. I'm an Apple person. Every two phones I get. My last phone is the 10. I don't get the 11. Usually by the time the 12 come out, I've had the previous phone for about 2 years, and it's probably been through hell and back, knowing the way I create. Now, we know when Amazon get ready to release its earnings, Amazon is going to run up. We know that. When it gets closer, options swell up during earnings. So right now, when nobody's talking about Amazon, nobody's thinking about it, the market is just going down, 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 down. Now it's the time to say, maybe I want to play earnings, because calls are becoming cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and the volatility is too high, but calls are becoming cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Now it's the time to be looking at Amazon a month later. And as soon as everybody get excited about Amazon and like, oh, let's see what Amazon's going to do, that's when you leave. Or you could start playing the Christmas for Amazon. That's going to be another topic. Because stocks usually run up leading up to the earnings. He said, I saw that stock and had the same course and more knowledge. So I guess he had the same thing as Mr. D.R. Briggs. Mr. Briggs, I hope that helped you out. He said, will do. You have my support. I appreciate that, Mr. Briggs. George said, yes, I love my investor mug. I feel smarter. See, exactly. See, you get your investor show mug. When you read those financial reports, you're going to read those financial reports like a gem. And when your buddy comes to you, or your friend, or your girlfriend, your homeboy, whatever situation you're in, they come to you and they start to talk about stocks, you're going to start talking to them about their top line and the bottom line revenue, where the top line revenue has been increasing the last couple quarters. Their revenue hasn't been doing this. And you start to talk about if they're profitable or unprofitable, and you're going to make your investor buddy's head spin. Right? Mr. Theodore Brown said, glad I found your channel. Keep it up. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. You're right. He wrote here. I'm pretty sure I'm late on this. The symbol is XPEV. Sorry about that. XPV versus NIO. That's a good one. I have to compare them. That's a great one, Tony Sirlight. XPV is unproven. NIO is supposed to be the new Tesla. So now you can compare XPV versus NIO finances, and you can make a prediction for the future. That's a good one. XPEV, we're going to look at the competitors. We might do that on another episode, but that's a good way to look at it. I compare you. Great question, Tony. Yeah, you're right, Durbin. More now it says they're unprofitable. Yes, they're both unprofitable. That's a mid-cap company, which is good, but unprofitable. Yes. Tesla's number one, have a little NIO. We're going to look at that. More now it says big political risk. Every time they start talking about a tariff, if you know what a tariff is when you start to tax imports. Every time they start to talk about a tariff, what's going to happen to the price of all those Chinese companies? They're going to drop. A tariff is saying, hey, if you want to bring your car over here, we're going to put a 20% increase on the price of your car. So let's say if you have this pen is made in China, and the president could come out and say, I'm issuing a tariff on all of the pens that's coming out of China, a 10% tariff increase. That means that every pen that comes from China increases by 10%. Most people, when the price go, when they have a tariff, they pass it on to the customer. So now all the Chinese pens are $1.10. All of the American-made pens are still a dollar. So now that gives the American-made companies a competitive advantage because I placed a tariff on China. So when you place tariffs, it's a political risk that the president has in his power to say, hey, we're going to issue a tariff on that company to give American companies a competitive advantage due to price. That's another thing, delisting. Smaller companies are more likely to delist. XPV can be delisted. It's a privilege. They are an ADR, which is an American depository, whatever it is, ADR. This is a foreign company that's traded on the U.S. market. They can be delisted. By them trading over here, that's a privilege to be traded in the biggest market in the world. We're the biggest consumers. We have the biggest stock market. So the president could come out and say, hey, we're going to delist you. Look at TikTok. TikTok is Chinese made. The president came out and said, hey, you know what? Get that TikTok thing out of here. Come Saturday, TikTok, you're out of here. What if I'm an investor in TikTok? I don't want to hear they're losing the biggest market in the world. He said, Alibaba, I better pick. I may have missed it, but where can I support your business? Ladies and gentlemen, you can type in Wesley Learns. I'm going to type this in the description box. W-E-S-L-E-Y. I should have a picture. Let me see. Do I have one up here? No, I don't. I should put one up here. Here it is. Can I put this on? Oh, that's in the background. Here we go. So that's it. This of us learning about investing, credit, insurance, and things like that. So it's a great product for you to you can get them on audiobooks. You can get audiobooks, the paperback, the ebooks, things like that. They're available across the globe. The last one features NFL Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, and also they all have been stamped by Mr. Warren Buffett himself. So shouts out to Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett. So check them out. They're available across the globe, across the world. You can support me that way. So I always tell people, don't donate to me, support me. All right. So definitely appreciate you, Mr. Derwin, for asking how you can support or whatever, right? Or you can get your Investor Show mug and feel like and invest like an genius, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you find a gem in a discounted market? We know the market is at a discount. A lot of people are scared. They're biting their nails. People are becoming fearful. The smart investors, the people that tune in here, the Max B's, I know there's always in here, the Ruby who's always in here, Julie who's always in here, and the list goes on, Derwin who's always in here, names that I see all the time. And Max B, if you're still here, did you receive your book that was signed by Mr. Rodney Perry? I want to make sure you receive your book. Most of the time, I always give away books all the time. Comedian Rodney Perry was on live. He told me, I think he sent them out last week. Just let me know when you got it, because I'm always going to fall through with my word. But ladies and gentlemen, when you recognize you have a discounted market, everything is down, everything is going away. When you're looking at the whole market is down, now you got to ask yourself, how do I find a hidden gem? How do I find a hidden gem in a down market? First thing you're going to look at, ladies and gentlemen, the first way to find a hidden gem in a down market. Profitable. Is the company profitable? Is the company profitable, ladies and gentlemen? Profit. As soon as I can spell it right. Is the company you're looking at, is it profitable? How can you find that gem, right? How can you? He says, not yet, you're on the lookout for it, but yeah, definitely let me know. Let's, I know he said he told me that he sent it out some like last week. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that. I want to make sure you get what I said. Is the company you're looking at a profitable company? Does the company turn profit? Friends, why does a profit matter? The reason why is competition. If I have one person applying for a position and they have a degree versus one person who don't have a degree, does that mean the person who have a degree is better than the person who doesn't have a degree? No, it doesn't, right? But hey, y'all, if I'm looking to invest into a sandwich shop and I got one sandwich shop that's unprofitable, but I have another sandwich shop that is, the one that's profitable is automatically going to catch my eye. If y'all are right next to each other, why is this sandwich shop making money and this sandwich shop is not making money? Maybe it's the product. Maybe it's the location. Maybe it's the marketing. Maybe they manage their money better. Why is this dry cleaner's making money and this dry cleaner is not making money? So now I'm looking at, I'm looking inside of your space. If you're in technology, if you're in e-commerce, who's the number one guy that's making money? Who is the number one person making money in the company? Everybody's talking about NIO, XPEV, all the other stuff like that. Well, I'm going to start off at the top, which is Tesla. You're number one. You're worth almost $500 billion, and you're turning a profit, but these other guys are not. I'm automatically going to give you the top pedestal. So now you're the biggest guy in the space. You're making a profit, and you have been trading down for the last 3 or 4 days. So this big, profitable company, why is it trading down? Profit. Do you make a profit? Are you profitable? Because when the crap hit the fan, Apple is going to be around. Apple has a ton of cash. It's making a lot of money. That means it can borrow money, everything like that. Uber, on the other hand, I don't know if you're going to make it, Uber. Apple, it'll be here in 5 or 10 years. Apple's going to be here in the next decade because it's just so big. Versus, or Amazon is going to be here because it's so big. So when I look at e-commerce and I look at Jeff Bezos and I look at Amazon, ooh, big, profitable e-commerce company. The next thing is, now, Julie said, I'm up for the risk. I'm going to tip my toe in XPEV. Yes, favor. I'm probably going to get this wrong, but the quote goes, I don't know, pretty much being bold. That's where the people who get the biggest blessings, being bold, taking that risk on that little small guy versus the big guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. Before you're out here trying the little guys, make sure you have the fundamentals down first. What I'm saying by that, Prince, before you go out there gambling, make sure you got your bills paid. And I'm not saying that in a financial sense. I'm saying it this way. Take me, for example. I have to take some photos in 2 days, like Wednesday. I'm scheduled to take some photos, right? Now, am I going to go out there and take some headshots in a fancy suit? Probably not. First, it's just like, you know what? Let's just do it. Let's make a simpler metaphor. As a young man, when you're buying your first suit, what color they always tell you to buy in your first suit? What color do they always tell you to buy in your first suit? They always tell you buy blue, buy black, buy the traditional colors first. Once you have the black first, because you can wear black to a funeral, you can wear black to an interview, black is classic and conservative. Once you have the black, or once you have that dark blue, now you can go get your red suit, or green suit, or Easter suit, or whatever you want. Now you can be fancy. But in the beginning, make sure you get the fundamentals. When you play basketball or sport, before you start dribbling all over your head and behind your back and throwing it all up in the air and doing all this other stuff like that, they're going to say, well, first, you need to learn how to dribble the ball first. Make sure you got the basics. Make sure you got the big boys first. After that, once you got the fundamentals down, you know what? Let me tip my toe over here. Let me try a crossover. Let me try behind my back. Let me try a gray suit. Let me try a yellow shirt. But if I got a yellow shirt, you best believe I have a white shirt. If I have a gray suit, you best believe I probably got a black suit in my closet. The reason why? Get the fundamentals first. Before you go off here trying to get the, that was a mistake I made as an investor. When I started out as investing, I became so intrigued by the world of investing. I saw the TV show Shark Tank. I was infatuated with the TV show Shark Tank. I want to be a judge on Shark Tank still to this day. And I love the whole concept of investing. So what I did was, I went out, found new startups. People would call me with new startups. And I was starting off with these little startup, very risky companies. One of the dumbest things you can do. Why? Because those people that's on Shark Tank and those people, those venture capitalists that you see, they probably made their money somewhere else. Now, this is their risky stuff. They go on Shark Tank and throw $20,000 over here, $50,000 over here, $100,000, because they can do that. This is not their bread and butter. This is just something extra, right? Take me, for example. Yes, I'm an author. I do other things like that. But that's not my career yet. Does it make money? Yes, but it's not what it pays my bills, right? 17 years active duty military, that's what pays the bills, right? So before you, once the military took take care of my 9-to-5, take care of my basic, everything else is extra. Being a podcaster, a YouTuber, an author, an investor, that's just extra. But my baseline is taken care of. Prince, why are you preaching to me like this? I want to say this to Julia. Before you going off in here, oh, let me tip my toe in the XPV. It might work out for you, may not. And then you don't want to open up your portfolio and have a, they might work. A bunch of everything is, I've opened up my portfolio in the beginning and had a bunch of penny stocks. I couldn't even tell you what they were. I was like, oh, this is supposed to be like the next McDonald's. This is supposed to be the next Facebook. This is supposed to be the next Microsoft. This is supposed to be the next XYZ. This is supposed to be the next thing or whatnot. And the thing about it is when you zoom out 5 years, 10 years go by, you're going to be like, well, nah, I'd be damned. All I had to do was just go buy, instead of buying the miniature version, all I had to do was just get Microsoft. All I had to do was just get Facebook. All I had to go do was get Tesla. All I had to do was go get Apple instead of getting the next hot thing. Everybody's looking out for the next hot thing. Don't get so caught up on rebounds that you forget winners. So first, looking at the profit. Is the company profitable? Second of all, if the entire market is going down, how was this company performing before COVID-19? How was this company performing before the market started to decline? How was it performing? Was it performing good? Was it a master thing? How was it performing? Was it performing good? Amazon was doing very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this. I'm going to tell you one company right now that's a sleeping gem that you already know. You already mentioned it. This company is built for COVID-19. Black Friday. As Black Friday come along this year, is everybody going to stand out of line and run into the store and pack out the stores like we traditionally do right after Thanksgiving? Probably not. Now, Cyber Monday is going to be more impactful. It was already controversial to have people working on Thanksgiving because of Black Friday. When people are running around with Black Friday, right, when everybody's wondering about, oh, what's going to be the hot sale? You know what you can do? You can start to find gems in the market. Everybody knows the strongest season for Amazon historically is the fourth quarter. That is October, November, December. This is when Black Friday comes. This is when Cyber Monday is going to come. We're going into the holiday season. And more people are already sitting at home. Nobody's going to be at the mall. Everybody's going to be at home with Amazon. Amazon's probably going to have the biggest quarter of it's all time. Their position, Amazon is positioned to have the biggest quarter of all time. People are already sitting at home. People are already working at home. The holiday season is coming up. Amazon is set to explode. A lot of companies are trying to get into position. Take me for example. I've been podcasting and YouTubing for 7 years. Ever since the pandemic hit, a lot of people have created podcasts. A lot of people have created YouTube channels, Facebooks, and Instagrams, and they're trying to get into the space. I'm already in the space. What happened when everybody started, when podcasting became a thing? I have just ridden the wave. This has been the strongest year I've ever had in podcasting in 7 years. I'm celebrating 7 years. So guess what? Amazon is already in position for the wave that's coming. Everybody's going to be at home. Who's going to be out there running? Do you think I'm going to be outside running, trying to see if I can get a size 12 or a size 13 No. Or if it's the, what do they have? No, I can sit right here from the comfort of my home, log on to Amazon. Everybody is going to be big on Cyber Monday. Yes, Walmart will have a little time, Best Buy, but Amazon, I don't know if Amazon inventory can hold, if the deliveries can hold, but Amazon is in position to be the biggest winner. They're coming out in the fourth quarter. Last year, we didn't have a pandemic. Amazon, the fourth quarter is the strongest quarter for Amazon. I may look it up here in a little bit. I'm going to show you guys and girl. The fourth quarter, traditionally, for the ever since 2017, that's the farthest I can look back. But the fourth quarter is the biggest quarter for retail. Who is the biggest retailer? Amazon. Who is the biggest online retailer? Amazon. Coming up on the biggest spending year, the biggest spending quarter, where people are not going to go outside as much, who do you think is poised to make a crap ton of money? Amazon. Amazon has been trading down for the last 7 days. Yes, it's expensive. Amazon is trading down. It's the number one e-commerce. It's the number one it's the number one retail company. It's trading down. It has dropped 7% in the last 7 days, right? What does that do? What does that mean? In a discounted market, this could be a great thing, right? A profitable company. I don't have to try to find the next Tesla. I don't have to try to find who's the next hot e-commerce. I don't have to figure that out. I can go with the proven number one retailer, the number one online retailer, and guess what everybody's going to be doing this year? Everybody's going to be buying from their laptops and phones. That's what majority of the people are going to go. And who's the biggest, baddest one on the block? Amazon. That's how you find a gem in a discounted market. Y'all give me 1 second. I need to get my power cord because I just got the thing that this thing is about to go out in a second. So y'all give me 1 second. Let me switch out my power cord and I'll be right back. So that's what I want you guys and girls will see. Let me tell you how bad Amazon is. Let me tell y'all how bad Amazon is. When your company can come out and say, in the midst of a pandemic, guys, listen, we're only selling the essentials. That's something that Walmart was doing. In the height of the pandemic that we had going on, Amazon came out and said, listen, I know y'all want to buy everything. Imagine owning a store. And in your store, you have, you know, everything, right? And you got so many customers that you have to go outside and say, guys, listen, hey, listen. I know everybody wants everything, but we're only selling toilet paper right now. We're only going to sell essential items. What type of crap is that? How great is your business? How positioned are you that you can come outside and say in the midst of a pandemic and tell everybody, hey, look, I'm only going to give you this, right? I'm only going to give you XYZ. That tells you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a great business. So right now, going into the fourth quarter, the biggest selling quarter of them all, you're going to be able to see. Let's take a look. I'm going to show you, ladies and gentlemen, how to look this up. I'm going to show you how to fish.
in this episode, ladies and gentlemen. Like I always do. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to... All right. I'm going to share my screen. We're going to take a look at, because so many people will say, oh, this is going on. When you come to the investor show, we don't talk about it. We show it to you. So let's look at 2020. This is Amazon Investor Relations. This is their first quarter, their second quarter. So we're going to look at, let's look at last year. Let's look at, let's see if they might have it here on their 10K. The 10K is the annual report. I don't want to download it. I want to view it. If they don't mind. No, I don't want to look at the 12-month. Financial statements, consolidated. No, I don't want to look at that. Give me 1 second. No, I want to do what y'all have been doing. Let's go right here. Look at the PDF. Make sure y'all can see what I'm seeing. Let me share and turn this one off. Let me bring it up. We're going to bring up. This is how you can tell. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'm going to show you guys and girls how to look at it. Did I bring the same screen back up? All right, let's go back. Right here. That's a quarter. We don't want to look at the quarter. Let's look at this Microsoft Word. All right. Let me zoom in a little bit so y'all can see. All right, this is their fourth quarter of last year. I'm going to scroll all the way down. Net income, 3 months ending in December 31st. The net income, see right here, this is in millions. So the net income in 2018 was $3 billion. The net income in 2019, let's look at it. The fourth quarter, the net income for 2019 was $3.2 billion. For 2018, it was $3 billion. That's the net income, $3 billion. We can see that right here. Net income for three quarters, $3 billion in 18, $3.2 billion in 19. Now let's look back and let's see what was it in 2018. What was it in 2017? Let's take a look at it right here. We're going to share the stream again. What were the income, boom, in 2017? So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Let's scroll on down here to the numbers. That's all I like to pay attention to. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage. This is the cash flow statement. I can sit off the cash flow statement. You can sit off the cash flow statement too. Here goes the net income. Hold on. No, that's the cash. Let's go. Where are we at? Where's the balance sheet? Where's the income statement? It's probably below the cash flow, huh? Okay. Operating income. Net income. Okay. All right. Here we go right here. The net income was $1.8 billion in 17. So in 17, it was $1.8 billion. In 18, it was $3 billion. In 19, it was $3.2 billion, right? So fourth quarter, you've seen it. It didn't grow that much from 18 to 19, but from 17 to 18, it almost doubled. 19 was a strong quarter too. So we can project like, okay, well, 2020, I think they're even in a better position in 2020 than they were in 2018, 2017, and in 2019. I think they're in a better position due to the current state of what we have going on. They're in a better position now than they were back then. So now let's take a look, right? Here we go. So here we go. King Carter says Shop has been doing better than Amazon as far as stock versus stock. Okay, I don't know about Shop like that. What are the finances? How's the finances not the stock performance. How has the finances for the two companies been looking? Has Shop beat Amazon financially? I look in the Shop. I never heard of Shop. I would definitely look into Shop. Joe Johnson says, just wanted to thank you, Prince. Great content. Joe, I really appreciate it. I appreciate it. And she said, oh, and Shop looks like it's on sale. I'll take a look at Shop as well. He said, yeah, I had $9.95 call on Shop. I sold it when it was up before the big sell-off. Nice. Great way to escape. I didn't sell my Apple calls. My Apple calls don't expire until next summer. But yes, I was up big time before the sell-off. Now I'm up a little bit. But I keep it because I have until next summer. But we'll see how that goes. So right here, now you got to look at it. We can see in the fourth quarter. So let's take a look at last year. What was in the third quarter? How did they perform? What was the net earnings in the third quarter of 2019? Let's take a look. This is the cash flow statement here. No, this cash flow. All right. All right. This is 2019, right? $2.1 billion. $2.1 billion in the third quarter in 19. $2.8 billion in the third quarter of 18. Now, let's take a look at the net income. And the reason why I'm focusing on net income, because that tells me after the money has been spent and deviated, how did it look? So I'm going through the financial statements. How was it in the second quarter? The second quarter net income, $2.5 for 18. And 2.6 for 19, 2.16. Right? So that's the fourth, so that was the third quarter. How do you look in the second quarter? So I'm going back quarter for quarter. How do you look in the second quarter? The net income. 2.5 in 18, 2.6. All right, we're going to see if I mix that up because that's the same number. So that was the second quarter I just clicked on. Let me make sure I didn't mess that up. Okay, make sure I didn't look over the third quarter. What did it look like in the third quarter, net income wise? Let's go down to this balance sheet. Where are you at? 2.8, 2.1. Okay, I see where I messed it up at. So that was 4. That was 3. This is 2. So how did they look in the first quarter? Kind of got my line thrown off there a little bit, but I got it correct. All right. All right. So you can see the strongest quarter they've ever had from 18 and 19. I didn't pull up 17. I just looked at those. So the strongest quarter that I've seen them have net income wise has been the first quarter of 2019. And we know the first quarter usually encompasses, if we're using that word correctly, it brings in part of the fourth quarter, right? Coming off of the sale. Some people, you know, you're looking at sale time, the holiday season starts in like November, December, and about January time frame. So that's the strongest quarter, right? But historically, we can see the strongest quarter usually comes in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is the quarter where you look at certain things, right? Net income wise. But I look into Shop. I never heard of Shao. Max B says, so changing those numbers of growth into percentage, we can get a better look, right? Yes, that is true. When you look at, hey, you had a 5% year-to-year growth, 5% year-to-year, whatever the case may be. Because when you look at numbers, like when I look at Shop and I look at Amazon, Amazon is probably have way bigger numbers than Shop. If I look and say Amazon made $3 billion, but Shop only made $1 million, that's not a good comparison. What I need to know is when I break it down percentage-wise, okay, Shop is, let's take a quick look at Shop. I never heard of Shop. Maybe when I look it up, I probably have heard of it. I think I've seen it, but I haven't looked into it before. Okay. Shop stock is $973. Ooh, it's not profitable. Shopify, that's what you're talking about. Okay, yeah, I know Shopify. Okay, of course. They're not profitable. Why is Shopify not profitable? So right here, ladies and gentlemen, Shopify is an unprofitable company that has been beating Amazon. Amazon has better finances. Shopify has better momentum. I just spoke about this with Tesla and Apple. Shopify has better momentum. Amazon has better financials. So some companies grow due to their finances, due to making money. Some companies grow, stock value grows due to momentum. Everybody knows Apple has better finances than Tesla, but why is Tesla growing faster? Momentum. Momentum growth versus financial growth. So let's look at Shopify investor relations. Look at their financial reports here. Let me share this with you guys and girls. We're now looking at the finances of Shopify. Shopify. All right. So now we're looking at the financials of Shopify. Let's look at the annual report. Let's look at the annual report for last year on Shopify. Make sure y'all looking at the same thing I'm watching. No, y'all are not, so I got to change it. I'll give it 1 second here. We're now looking at the finances of Shopify. As soon as I can find, I think this is it right here. 0015, okay. All right, so here we go. We're looking at Shopify financials. So many times people would sit here and they would tell you, oh, we're looking at a company and we're, you know, they're going off of what the stock is performing. That's not a good indicator of what's going on in the underlying. When crap hits the fan, that's when you're going to feel, you know, what scared me with Uber. Uber started going through a situation. I'm like, oh, I know it's an unprofitable company. Can it disappear? Okay, so let's go down here. Let's look at these finances. Get through all this. We don't want to look at the general manners for looking. We want to look at those financial statements. Where are you at? Corporate structure, risk, dividends, market securities. Where are you at? No, where is this finances? Why are they trying to hide their finances? I don't like it. They usually have financial statements here, but I'm going to find it anyway. Legal proceedings, I don't care about all this stuff. Well, I do, but not in this instance right now. So let me find it. I'm going through the 10K report right now. Trying to get to those numbers. They're trying to hide them in here somewhere. Maybe I'm on the wrong 10K report. Maybe that's why he's doing that. Okay. This is definitely not giving me what I want to see here. You know, let's do this. Instead of pulling that up right now, I'm going to just pull it up right here. In the meanwhile, let's go to Yahoo Finance and just go to the financials instead of going through the 10K report. Plus, I can get some historics. What? Okay, I'm going to try to reload my page. All right. Let me share here with you guys. Bring the screen up here. All righty here. Here we go. We're on Yahoo Finance. We're looking at the finances of We're looking at the finances of Shopify. So right here, I can go to straight to the cash flow statement. And at this cash flow statement, it's going to tell me. Let me see, expand all. How can I do that? Here we go. Net income. Go straight to the cash flow statement. Net income, negative, 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 negative. So ever since 2016, they've been losing money. They actually losing more and more money. Look at the net income, negative 35. I'm pretty sure that's, oh, the number is in thousands. So right here, they tell you right here, the number is in thousands. So that helps me out a lot. That let me know they lost $35 million in 2017. They lost $39 million in 2017. They lost $35 million in 16. They lost $39 million in 17. They lost $64 million in 2018. They lost $124 million last year. They're netting more and more losses. So now when I look at the cash flow statement, I can go straight to the income, and I can know what that net income is or should be. Should be matching up for me. Right here, those same numbers we saw at the cash flow statements, they're right here in the net income. The net income, this is the top line revenue. Now, the good thing is their top line is growing. Top line revenue, they made 380, that's a billion, right? They made 389 million. In 16, they grew it to 1673, then 1 billion in 18. So they're making more money, their top line is growing. That's the top line revenue. When you hear somebody say my top line versus my bottom line. Top line is growing. Now you got to look at the cost of revenue. Look at the cost of revenue is growing each year. Look at the gross profits. So gross profits is like, okay, total revenue minus the cost of revenue. Now let's look at how much money am I bringing home. The top revenue is what you make when you come home, when your money come home. This is the top line revenue, right? It's your gross pay. Now they take out all your taxes and stuff like that. Now your gross profit is what you actually see in your bank account when you get paid. This is what they're seeing. This is growing. Nice. Gross profits are growing. Now we got to look at the operational expenses. Look at the operational expenses. This is what's killing them. The operational expenses is growing as well. Research and development is growing as well. The sales general, the SGA is growing as well. This is pretty much employees, things like that. So when you look at it, they're taking operational losses. Then they're paying their taxes. That's not too total income, net expenses, income before taxes. That is at least growing. Income tax expense. I wonder why they didn't pay any income taxes in 16, 17, 18, and 19, according to this. So their net income losses, their losses are growing due to their operational expenses. It's killing them. So when I see you, you're making more and more money, but you're losing more and more money. Now I got to listen to the CEO and see what is this plan? Why is this happening? Right? So when I look at this and then I can say, well, the stock is going up. I made a bunch of money off of it. What are you saying, Prince? Look at Shopify. Look at the chart. Let's look at the chart on this company. Right? Let's zoom out. Let's look at year to date. People are saying, Prince, what are you talking about? This stock has doubled. It started at $400 this year and it's gone up to almost $1,000. It has doubled. Let's do a comparison. Let's compare it to Amazon. Amazon may have doubled too. I don't know. Say, let's do a light blue line. So you look at this. Amazon is a blue line. Shopify is the Shopify is the candlestick. So as you can see, Shopify has outperformed Amazon big time. Amazon has only gone up 78%. Still good. Shopify is going up 144%. So Shopify stock by stock due to this year, Shopify has had a great year. But you look at their finances doesn't look that strong compared to Amazon. Why are you losing money? Why are you losing more and more money? Why is that? All right. He said, I did a swole on Shopify back in 2016 and saw the potential. With such rapid growth lately, do you still think it's the best play with the cheaper alternatives? We just did the finances, Joe Johnson. Tell me what you think, what you're doing when you look at the finances. King Carter says, with momentum stocks, I don't hold them long term. I just ride the wave and get out. Very smart, because they tend to be very volatile, aka Tesla. I can't afford Amazon right now, so I can't afford Amazon. Amazon is $3,200. That's true. So I brought FNGO ETF that holds a lot of Amazon. Smart way to get into it. All right. Julie says, if I want to get rid of something at a loss, is it better to do it at the beginning of the week when the market first opens? If I'm selling the stock, when I brought the stock, was this just I was trying to ride the momentum wave, or I was trying to do something like, okay, take me for example. Let's say come November 4th, Uber doesn't win this case and Uber shuts down in California. That could be a trigger for what now I'd be open to selling it because the storyline has changed, right? Now I only sell on an up day. Don't sell it on the bad news. I only sell it on an up day. It's very hard to do because your heart, when you see it dropping and dropping and dropping, you think it's going to be red forever. But I'll wait till the market comes back and it's doing great and everybody excited. Then I will sell it on an up day. I don't look at when the week first opens. If I'm selling you, I want to sell you on an up day. If I want to buy you, I want to buy you on a down day. Lately, it's been hard to catch Amazon on a down day. But these last 3 days have been a great day to catch Amazon on down days. That's how I look at when I'm looking to move on. Mike said, great question. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to conclude today's episode. I hope y'all got a lot out of it. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. Today, we had a very great conversation. We talked about the market sentiment, finding those discounts, finding those hidden gems. We read financial reports, something you probably would get nowhere else online, because it took me years and years and years to learn how to find finances and where to look up finances. But I hope you guys grab your Investor Show cup and read the financial reports with me. And also for your kids and your nieces and your nephews, a great holiday present for them will be the Wesley Learn series, teaching kids about investing, credit, and insurance. So you're learning these things, but it's more important to give this to your kids. I can give all the money in the world to my son, but if I don't give him any knowledge, it's all worthless. So make sure you go out there and you want to support me. You don't have to donate to me. Just go out there and support those products. I will greatly appreciate that. All right. Michael said, I'm going to say this before you leave. Thank you for the show and sharing your knowledge yet again. Anytime, ladies and gentlemen, anytime. Joe John said, thank you for the analyst, Prince. It's clear that Shop is in for a correction. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't get that nowhere. You won't get that nowhere. Now, let me tell you something I learned from Berkshire Hathaway. They told me, they said, Prince, always look at management. Always look at the people. Before you invest into somebody, look at that person. Are they a good husband? Are they a good father? Because you get so caught, man, Prince makes a lot of money, that you forget I'm at home, not a good husband, not a good father. When a person's character is messed up, eventually the market will relate back to the finances. The market will lose the momentum and they will start to analyze the finances all the time. So sometimes you may be in a financial strong company. You're wondering, why aren't you getting that big leaps and bounds? But over time, everything will come back to finances. Joe, Joe said, I think I would rather have my money on Amazon, who is doing well, has financials that are consistent. Julia says, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this exchange. Make some money, y'all. Definitely. Good night to Mr. Lemonade. Yeah, Mr. Lemonade out there in, what you call it? He's out there in Canada. Darren Smith, just saw your learning series books on Amazon, getting them for my kids. Thank you for the great show. Darren Smith, I appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the book series. And I wish you guys and girls all the best in investing. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. My name is Prince Dykes. This is the Investor Show. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe. I'm out. Thank you.